The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to turn our attention back to that story Eamon mentioned in the news headlines. Gardaí say they believe this missing boy in North County Dublin, who's not been seen for over 3 years, has died. The search continuing in Donabate. And Emily Keegan, our reporter, is there. Emily, what's the latest?
Yeah, so I've just arrived at the scene here. It's very well sealed off. We've got a lot of plastic sheets up, a lot of barriers up. There's really no seeing into the site. Since I've arrived, I've seen them bringing in more generator lights onto the site. We've had more Gardaí turning up. We've got local and forensic Gardaí on the site here in Donabate taking part in this search. As you mentioned there, they do believe that this boy is dead, so they are searching for the remains of the boy here on this land. He's last known to have been living in the Gallery Apartments in Donabate. He hasn't been seen in a number of years. He would now be 7 years old. The place where he is known to have last resided is about a 5 minute drive from the location that they're searching here. They're continuing to search at the moment. It's unclear at what point this evening they will end and whether or not they will resume tomorrow. But as I mentioned, they are bringing in more light, so it seems like they're preparing to be here for another while.
And have the Gardaí said anything more about the boy, about his background, about why he might have gone missing, when he went missing exactly, about whether they are looking at questioning anybody in the context of that disappearance?
A lot of it is still very unclear at the minute, and this news, it's kind of emerging as we go. What they have said is that they're not in a position at the minute to release his identity for the purpose of the investigation. What we do know is that he would be 7 years old right now. It's still unclear when exactly he was last seen. It's been at least 3 years. We do know that much since he was last seen. This case was flagged to Gardaí by Tusla last Friday. There's been a lot of questions about how it managed to go under the radar for this long and how it wasn't reported sooner. It's a case that I'm sure we will learn more about over the coming days. So far, they haven't arrested anybody. They haven't released any details on whether there's anybody suspicious that they're considering questioning. It's all been quite reserved at the minute. All they have been clear about is that they do believe that this boy is dead at the minute.
Emily Keegan, a reporter who's at the scene. Emily, thank you. And we'll go back to Emily if indeed there's any update on that search throughout the evening. But David Hall is with me in studio, CEO of Lifeline Ambulances, amongst other things. And David, I mean, this is kind of doubly shocking for people. I think just the fact that there is a missing child presumed dead is shocking in and of itself, of course. But then the other aspect of this is that he went missing several years ago, and I don't want to say nobody seemed to notice, but it's only on the radar now. I think that's the question a lot of people are asking today, is how can that happen?
I think the most common question asked today was, how does a child just disappear off the radar? And I think actually, if you ask yourself that question, Kieran, or I asked myself and looked today, it's very, very hard to understand what is the radar. And I think many people are obviously shocked and distressed, and everyone shares exactly the same views. But in any civilized society, we expect there to be some norms and some semblance of protection. No matter where you're from or where you are, once you're in this country, we need to have a safety system that ensures the protection of children. And the question that everyone's asking today is, how does this happen? Where is the gap? Is the gap after the, you know, if someone isn't registered to go to school? Is it a case where after the any assistance in relation to nursing care at home stops? Where is it if someone doesn't register for preschool or doesn't register for school? Where do they get caught in the system? This is not about monitoring. This is about ensuring that we can help and support those we can. And in circumstances where something happens, that there is a state intervention. And again, I think the Gardaí are very, very good at this. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that anyone dedicated to this as they have been. But this comes in the wake 12 months to the day of Kieran Duren's missing.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes there's a watershed moment that many people say, what does it take for there to be an actual review and confidence in a system that anybody in the country needs to know that our child protection mechanisms and systems are safe? I don't believe they're safe. I think many have commented that they're not safe. Indeed, Justice Woods, who deals with a lot of these cases in the courts, has indicated that they are in an appalling state. The Child and Family Agency, TUSLA, has come in for stark criticism. And they conduct the reviews in private. They conduct the reviews behind closed doors. We as a society need this system to work. This is not about having a go at somebody. This is far more important than having a go at someone. This is to ensure that these systems, basic systems, protect children, whether they're born here or come here, are protected, and if someone reports an issue, that the resources are there to investigate and help where required.
We had Liam Herrick here in studio yesterday evening, the Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, and it just so happened he was here kind of while the details of the story emerged. What he was talking about was child trafficking, actually. But there's an overlap in some of the concerns he raised. One of the concerns he raised here is that we don't have a huge amount of systems that all talk to each other and kind of cross-reference each other in such a way that it's easier to identify a child dropping off the radar like they do in other countries. And he gave the example even of the North. He says the level of child trafficking that's detected in the North is significantly higher than the South. Now, either there's much more of it in the North, which he thought was unlikely, or there's much more happening in the South that doesn't get detected. I know this isn't child trafficking, but it's much the same stuff in terms of the red flags that could or should be raised.
But we've had the Grace case recently. We've had multiple instances of wrongdoing and a flawed system and a failed system. What is the watershed moment? Like, what does it take for a system to fix itself and right itself? What does it take politically for this to be staffed and the dots be joined to technology? Many families listening to this programme, and indeed anyone who heard Liam yesterday, you know, would resonate with running around to the airport where there might be someone's wife's maiden name or partner's maiden name on kids' passports and all the chaos that goes with that.
Yeah.
One part of the system can work. Some parts work. In this instance, someone has made a social welfare claim. They correctly reported to Tusla and Garda Síochána were notified and immediately didn't just take a rumour, they absolutely jumped in with a full investigation. So parts of the system work, but we have to be assured. I mean, when judges of the courts, and indeed, when other professionals are saying the system's broken, we have to listen. What happened with the Kieran Dernan report? What failed? I don't care what the failings were. Let's find out what they were. I'm more concerned about it. Were they actually changed? Did anything happen? And I don't buy this normal excuse that's given, which is, oh, there's a Garda investigation ongoing. That does not mean we can not run things in parallel. This is 2025. We need to be able to ensure that we protect children, number one. Everybody wants the same thing. We all need to be able to rest at night. There's a deep unease in relation to Kieran Dernan. There's a deep unease today as to how this could have happened.
Keelan Gallagher is with us as well, who's Ireland's Special Rapporteur in Child Protection. Keelan, I mean, the specifics of this case we don't have, so we're limited in what we can say about it. But we do know, as David has said, and as Emily said, and people would have heard in headlines right throughout the day, that this child kind of went missing a few years ago and search is only happening now. What concerns have you, from a child protection point of view, about the system, if we call it that, yeah, in the broadest sense in this country?
Yeah, I really echo the concerns that David has raised, and indeed that Liam Herrick raised yesterday when it was breaking news. We're, of course, limited in what we know about this particular missing child. And of course, his welfare and safety is top of my mind. What a heartbreaking, horrendous experience that we're seeing unfold in this way. We do know from the limited information available that the child would now be 7. Hasn't been seen for at least 3 years, so seems likely that the child was preschool age at the time, may also have overlapped with COVID lockdowns. So there may be a whole range of circumstances which might explain why in this individual case it went under the radar and shouldn't have. But I have a fundamental concern here that you can have a child who falls through the cracks in that way. And that it comes a year since Kieran Dernan was reported missing in August 2024, when the last confirmed sighting of him, as far as we know, was June 2022, when he was age 6. You know, that's a profoundly troubling case. A child vanishing from the face of the planet who was known to social services and was known to the authorities.
I'm sorry to cut across here, but I'm not suggesting kind of a hierarchy of victims here, but I think what maybe is slightly more shocking about the Kieran Dernan, and we don't have all the detail on this yet, so, you know, that comes with a bit of a caveat, but what was slightly more shocking is he was in school and, you know, he was engaged with the type of things that we expect puts children on the radar, so they would be noticed when they're not on it anymore.
Well, that's right. In one of the, there's two factors in Kieran Dernan's case, and as far as we know, they don't apply here. One of them is that he was school age, compulsory school age. One of them is that he was a case which was already known. So there was an open file. He was already known to the authorities. So that's one of the, there are two factors, which as far as we know, don't apply in this latest case, but we don't know yet because there's so many questions. But really, my view is, as it was in August 2024, when I first learned about Kieran being reported missing, it feels to me that that should have been a watershed moment for child protection in Ireland, when we would say, how does this happen? How can you have a child vanish from the face of the planet who's known to the authorities, not apparently noticed for years? How on earth can a child fall through the cracks like that? And what I'm hearing today is real disquiet from people about this latest case, even though there's many questions unanswered at this stage. We know very little information, and it may well be that this is a child who, in fact, wasn't known to the authorities at all beforehand. But one of the reasons why I think there is such concern is precisely because after Kyron was reported missing, there was not a transparent, publicly accessible review into what happened. Now, there have been two things which have been ongoing since August 2024. First of all, there's, of course, been a Garda investigation, and I entirely agree with David that, of course, we can't say anything that prejudices that, but that does not prevent us from having a review of the systems and what may have gone wrong. The second process which has been ongoing was Tuzla conducted its own internal review in Kyron Durland's case, and that was then presented to the minister in the department on the 1st of November 2024. I haven't seen that either, so I'm in exactly the same position as you, as David, as all of your listeners. I've yet to see it. We know it was sent to the National Review Panel for essentially a review of a review, but this is a behind-closed-doors, paper-based process which started with Tuzla marking its own homework, if I can put it that way.
So,
and that does not feel to me good enough. It's important. It's not enough. There should be a proper, full, transparent review that should have happened long ago. And this case, this latest case, really emphasises why it's so important that we do that.
I find that kind of shocking, I have to say, that you've had no sight of that report either. I mean, it begs the question, and I say this with all due respect, what's the point in having a special rapporteur in child protection if the kind of the greatest failing in child protection in the last 12 months known to any of us, you're in the dark as much as I am?
No, of course. And actually, my role is a role which is part-time and which reviews the legal processes and the policies. And I have been raising profound concerns about the legal processes and the policies. And can I give just one stark example here?
Yeah.
You know, when David said, well, why can't you have a parallel process? And there's a very good example, I think, of that from England and Wales, which is that terrible case of Victoria Climbier. I don't remember know if you remember that. It's an 8-year-old Ivorian girl who was tortured and murdered in the year 2000 by her great aunt and her great aunt's boyfriend. And actually, when it emerged that that had happened, there was outrage in England and Wales. And her death led to a full, transparent public inquiry known as the Laming Review, which produced major changes in child protection policies in the United Kingdom. And critically, that public, transparent process began and continued while there was a police investigation, while there were prosecutions and indeed convictions related to the murder of that little girl. And it seems to me what happened in Victoria Climbier's case rightly reflected the profound public concern. And if it was good enough for Victoria Climbier, why have we not had a similar process for Kyron Durland since August 2024?
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, and I've got to say, I'm not making any criticisms of individuals here. I'm acutely conscious. I deal every day with social workers, officials, and indeed the minister herself, deeply committed on child protection issues. I'm acutely conscious of that. I'm also conscious that the whole timeline with this coincided with the change of government and with the election. So I'm very conscious of that too. And I'm also conscious that the National Review Panel does very good work. And Tuzla and the department may well feel that the internal review by Tuzla gives them what they need. But the problem is you have the unknown unknowns, because in every case I've done over the last 25 years, which has involved child protection internationally or in the UK or elsewhere, what I've seen is that actually as soon as you open processes to public scrutiny, as soon as you turn over the rock and you start looking at what's underneath it, you actually get input which you might not have expected. And the Tuzla officials who've reviewed what may have gone wrong and what processes need to change come from a very particular perspective. You know, we haven't had input from people like me, from people like David, from people like Liam Herrick, from expert academics, from people with lived experience, for example, who could say, well, hang on, I can see a failure here. And why don't you consider this recommendation for change? Now, and it may well be, of course, that some of the proposals that ultimately emerge from the Tuzla internal review and the review of the review by the National Review Panel are quite sensible. And I think it's important those processes have taken place. But my view is that they are not enough, and there should be a transparent public inquiry into these issues. I've been calling for that since last August, and really my concerns have been reinforced in what's happened in the last 24 hours.
David, why do you think we haven't had the type of change that you and Keelan are talking about there. Like, what is it about the system or the institutions or the vested interests or whatever way you want to describe it in this country that means we haven't had any of that?
Yeah, this isn't like a non-commercial space. This is a space that universally, politically, everybody should agree on. Everyone does agree on it. Like, what does it take? And when you can't get other parts of society and functions to work, it's no wonder when you look at child protection.
Yeah, there's not an other side to this.
No, there's not people arguing
we shouldn't be protecting children or we should have less robust mechanisms.
So when you
place.
Have Keelan and people professionally qualified experts in the area with other jurisdictions, as you quoted, like other jurisdictions, Keita mentioned, why do we try and reinvent the wheel? Why are we obsessed? And what does it take for a watershed moment? This sort of stuff is something that everybody scrolls across Netflix or Apple TV or Prime and looks at the introduction and reads something that we're reading about in relation to these cases. These should not be happening, and we have to have a mature system to want to change. And I have to question with this being a one-sided argument where everybody's on the same page and it doesn't happen, where is the blockage? And the minister and this government need to remove all the kites, bring them down, and it doesn't need to wait for the outcome of these Garda investigations. The people deserve, and the children of the state, whether they're born here or come here, deserve that protection to know that the system is safe. It is currently not safe, according to the judges and many other commentators.
And we keep talking about, you know, Kyran Dernan is the most recent and galling example of this. But I think any conversation like this has to mention as well and acknowledge the profound ways in which we failed children kind of in the care of institutions in this state in the past. And you think one of the legacies, one of the hangovers of that would be a real eagerness to act quickly.
I have a list of them here, Kieran. I'm not going to go through them, but I'm going to reference one, which is Daniel McInnesby, who was in care, who was murdered in 2020. There's a whole heap of circumstances arise, individual cases in care. However, this year, his inquest was in May this year, and the jury this year said the state needs to carry out an urgent review of its approach to child protection welfare. Keelan and many others for years have been asking for this. Why, when everybody's asking for the one thing that can only do good and positive things for children, do we not do it? We say a lot of things. We don't act accordingly. And serious questions arise as this Dáil term comes back and this budget comes back around priorities.
And Keelan, is there an element of just the instinctual, if that's the right way to describe it, reaction of certain institutions? Is a circling of the wagons, even if what people are calling for is good?
Yeah, I think, and actually I wanted to mention Daniel McInnesby, because I feel we're having repeated shocking moments like this where people say, how could this have happened? The Daniel McInnesby inquest and the very profoundly important findings of the jury there, the work done by UCD on child sexual exploitation and risks to girls in care, for example, Judge John Jordan about special care beds and the shortages, and last year, November 2024, the Child Law Project's report on children falling through the cracks, which identified a lack of appropriate placements and the absence of a cross-sectoral approach to child protection in a range of ways. And just in the last few weeks, the Grace Report, the Fennelly Commission, and what's happened there. And each of these times, what happens is you get a response which is focused only on that individual instance. And the problem with that is, if you're only doing firefighting and looking at this individual case, and you're only looking at this individual case through the lens of the agencies and the authorities, which may well have failed themselves in the process, rather than a transparent, public, proactive review, then you end up getting these repeat problems. And that's why it seems to me, I have been saying for a long time, we need to have a look at whether there needs to be root and branch reform of child protection law in Ireland. Kyran Dernan, I thought, was the watershed moment that would make people realise that that was right. Then I thought it was Daniel McInnesby. I thought it was the UCD review on child sexual exploitation, Judge John Jordan calling for it too. None of these things have done it. And it is high time that we recognise we're one of the richest countries in the European Union. We, for a long time, have been saying Ireland should be one of the best places in Europe to be a child. But in reality, what we're seeing is case after case after case, which is shocking, which feels like a one-off. But all of these cases are saying, we've got to look at the system.
Yeah.
We've got to review the system and see whether these systems are fit for purpose and whether we're protecting our children adequately. And I'm afraid when you look at these cases in the round, regardless of what the particular circumstances are of this latest example, the cases in the round suggest that there's a systemic problem that we need to review properly and not through Tuzla reviewing its own homework behind closed doors. There's got to be a public, transparent process like David and I are both calling for.
Well, as I said, Emily Keegan is there in Donabate, and if there's any update on that search this evening, we will go to her immediately. In the meantime, David Hall and Keelan Gallagher. David's the CEO of Lifeline Ambulance, amongst other things, and Keelan, Ireland's Special Rapporteur in Child Protection. Thank you both.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.